Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which... Welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abousalbi. Samer, how are we doing this week?
Doing real well. So excited for today's episode, a Halloween mix, which was actually an audience request. We had debated if we wanted to do one or not, but overwhelmingly, everyone wanted to. There were like a couple of holdouts. And so if you are one of those people and you're still listening, thank you for being here. We're so sorry, but we hope you enjoy the mix anyway.
Well, and hang in there, because I think we've got some good songs, whether they are Halloween related or not. And I was surprised how many Halloween related songs are out there, really.
Right. And there's actually no Monster Mash on this mix. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way.
You don't need to worry about listening
to Monster Mash.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. No Monster Mash here. Yeah. But a couple others that'll probably be familiar to people.
Yeah. Do you like Halloween? What are your thoughts on Halloween? Are you pro?
You know, neutral? I'm pro now that my kids are right in the wheelhouse. They're 5 and 8, where Halloween is a huge deal, picking out their costume, getting dressed up. So, yeah, I'm into it for them. For me, I tend to do just like bits when I'm doing my costumes. So it's never like, hey, I'm just going to dress as a warlock or something, right? Like,
sure.
To me, I remember 1 year in college, we took a group. There was some sort of, date party or something around Halloween. And we all went to the thrift store and everybody picked a color. So it was like, okay. I think I was like yellow. And so you just picked out yellow clothes from the thrift store and you just showed up as a color. And so that was our Halloween costume. Everybody in the group had a color. Okay. So yeah, I'm usually doing something ridiculous if I have to dress up, rather than something like, really into the horror side of it. I'm less into that and more into the like silly costume side of it.
I like that. I am not into costumes, but I am very much into like horror films. So for me, Halloween is like the 1 month of the year that I allow myself to binge on horror. And then it really works out because by the end of the 31 days, I'm so burned out and terrified that I'm like, I can't do that again, ever again. And it's about a year before I'm like, oh yeah, let's do it.
Let's get into it. Here we go. Now, when you talk about horror films, are you more into, because there's kind of subgenres within that. Are
For
you
sure.
more into the, like, almost fantasy-like, the Nightmare on Elm Street, or kind of the, well, this couldn't really happen, or more into the, you know, kind of the more recent ones are a little bit more terrifying in that it's like, maybe somebody could do this, right? Super intense thriller kind, or the torture ones. Like, what are you more into?
I am into actually the paranormal. I really like paranormal like style of horror. So, you know, like things that go bump in the night, that type of thing. So I'm a big fan of that. And like, anything directed by James Wan. So he did like Conjuring and I think Insidious and some of those. So, yeah, those are just all kind of paranormal, you know, other ghosties and demons and things like that. I'm not into gore. Like, I definitely like just stay away from that. I think, I don't know, it's just not for me. So,
yeah.
And I think for the reason that you just mentioned, because it's like, at least at the end of these movies, I can kind of be like, okay, you know, that's like supernatural. I don't need to worry too much about it. Maybe a little, but you know, as some comedians said out there, no one is haunting one bedroom apartments in Manhattan, right? They're haunting, they're haunting country houses out in the middle of Maine.
That's a great point. You can take, you can actually take solace in where you live instead of... Instead of wishing you had more space, you're like, thank God I'm not there, right?
Right. Exactly. I mean, the ghosts here would have to compete with a lot of noise naturally. So, you know, like they would have to really be banging on the walls and stuff to get me up in the middle of the night.
There would be no ending to the bumps in the night, right? Because they would continually be turning into something in a small Manhattan apartment, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It just wouldn't stop. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of bumping into something, all right, let's get into the mix here. You're leading off. Your first track on the mix We just talked about Hauntings, and you went with Ghost on the Dance Floor by Blink-182.
Yeah, so my theme for all these six songs is I wanted to do a rock Halloween mix. And I kind of wanted to have it tell a story. So through the titles of the songs, there'll be like a little bit of a story throughout. So it begins with you seeing a ghost on the dance floor, right? The track itself is actually, unfortunately, I think about, you know, loss and dealing with loss and, you know, seeing people that you've lost still around. And so he talks about, you know, seeing like a ghost on the dance floor. But it is just an amazing, like that aside, it's an amazing rock song. You know, it could be a little unsettling if you see a ghost of someone that you've known, whether or not it's a happy thing or not. I personally have not seen any ghosts in my life. If I do, I hope they're more like Casper and less like, you know, some of these other terrifying creatures that I've encountered in movies. But yeah, I just, you know, I love Blink and I love this song. It's from, you know, a later album of theirs, 2011, Neighborhoods. But it still kind of had that Blink sound, this track especially.
Yeah, I did not know this Blink 182 song, but I really liked it. Yeah, like you said, it's just a great rock song. The background story is not as directly related to Halloween, but it's still just a cool song and definitely worth a listen. And I'm really excited to hear how your theme unfolds. I did not do that with my songs. I just kind of picked the... maybe the most Halloween-related songs I could think of, but yeah, I'm interested to see how this weaves together with your other picks.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to see that too. Now that I've said it live, because I think I may have overpromised here, but I'm gonna do my best to deliver. All right, track two. You went with Far From Any Road by The Handsome Family, which at first I was like, okay, I didn't understand, but I'm guessing it has something to do with the True Detective show. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I became familiar with the song, and probably most of the listeners became familiar with the song from the first season of True Detective. And it's a really creepy season if you've ever seen it. And if you ever want to go back and watch True Detective, and just watch the first season. That's definitely the best one, I think, of the three or four that had. Yeah, and I think just right from the jump, this theme song is just, it sounds so creepy. And then the intro that they show on the screen is really kind of unsettling. And so it just sets the tone for a really creepy season of a really good show. But yeah, so it's the first thing I thought of, honestly, when I think of Halloween, because I think it's even though the lyrics don't necessarily directly relate to Halloween or you know, some sort of horror story necessarily, I think it has the right feel for a Halloween song.
I agree. So you know, at first I played it and I was like, well, this, you know, the like mood wise and melody wise maybe it wasn't immediately obvious, but then you listen to the lyrics and I became very unsettled by the lyrics, and so I can totally see that. You know, it's like this obsession with this cactus, and he talks about running his hand against it and cutting his hand up, and then these lines about the rattlesnakes unfold and mountain cats will come and drag away your bones, and it's just like, ugh, it does keep you kind of, put you on edge without you even really realizing it at first.
Yeah, and in episode one, you know, you get a little bit of an intro scene, and then this song kicks on, and it's just immediately like, what am I about to watch for the next hour?
That's great. All right, I've got some homework. I need to watch that first season. Everyone has told me to, and I have yet to, so I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, definitely don't watch the second season, but third season's not bad. But yeah, the first season, if you're going to spend some time, definitely watch that one.
Great.
All right, going back to your picks, let's continue your theme that you've set out here. We're going to go with Burn the Witch by Queens of the Stone Age.
Yes. Okay, so if in the first track you know, see a ghost and maybe it's a familiar ghost, you're like a little unsettled, but, you know, maybe you're okay. Here we're talking about witches and burning witches, which is very unsettling, and like another Halloween trope as well. And I just, again, I love Queens of the Stone Age. I don't think that we've had a song of theirs yet on any of our mixes, and that's a shame because they are incredible. Like, they're just, when I think of like amazing drum artists, I always think of Queens of the Stone Age, and just like amazing like rock bands. And so, you know, this song is about the Salem witch trials and could actually be more broadly talked about, any kind of mass hysteria, you know, proverbial witch hunt. And it's just a great rock song. So yeah, that's why this was second track for me.
Yeah, and I saw Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top shows up on guitars and vocals. And, I mean, if that doesn't just take your rock song to another level, I don't know what will. I mean, but, yeah, they're great. I mean, this is a really cool song, and I think adding the Billy Gibbons element. And also they have, you know, vocally, they have different voices kind of going back and forth, talking to each other, which is also a really neat effect and really does a good job of kind of setting the stage on this, you know, Salem witch trial that they're describing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you completely that the two, like, kind of dueling vocals really adds, like, an element of, like, moodiness and unease as well. And, yeah, Billy Gibbons, I mean, so talented. And I love his, like, even his guitar style, right? Like, the very bluesy, like, moody rock that he, like, puts out on this track. Incredible. I love this song. It's great. I'm going to try my best to feature more Queens of the Stone Age. All right. Your second track, our track four, we've got Halloween by Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, just decided to go real straightforward here. Okay.
I like it. Yeah,
the song's just did like called Halloween.
Real head scratcher, this one.
I did a Google search, and this was the first song that came up.
Yeah, that's evident, Matt. That's we're gonna need to talk about your performance after the recording.
All right, so let's talk about this song. It is a very creepy song for Halloween,
it's
something Dave Matthews early on would play this only in concert, but then on their third studio album, Before These Crowded Streets, they put it out on the album. But interestingly enough, it was the only song on that album they didn't include lyrics for when they released the album. So, you know, for those younger listeners out there, back in the day, you get a CD or an album or a cassette, and they'd have the lyrics printed out for you. You couldn't just go to the internet and find them. And in this track, he left the lyrics off. And you can look up the lyrics now, and they're really upsetting lyrics, because it goes from this sort of creepy sounding Halloween song into kind of this really twisted tale about obsession. And it's definitely a weird song and very un Dave Matthews like.
I agree. I had that exact same reaction. I was like, I cannot believe that this is the same guy that has sung like Satellite and Crash Into Me and you know, like all these others where he's got these really like soft vocals and mm-hmm. and all that, and here he's just like screaming like Why This Lonely over and over again. It's really different. I would have never known that, like, if this had played, I wouldn't have guessed ever this was Dave Matthews Band. So nice pick. I like it.
Yeah. Wanted to get something in there. Obviously a little bit straightforward. Some of the fans out there might have heard of it before, but, you know, maybe not. Certainly not something that gets any radio play these days.
Sure.
All right. So now we get into, I mean, these next two tracks are probably the most popular songs on the whole mix. So track five, you went with Dragula by the great Rob Zombie.
Yes. I mean, this had to make an appearance on a Halloween mix. I actually was first introduced to Rob Zombie and this track in particular from the Matrix soundtrack, where they actually had like a slightly remixed version of the song that's really good. Hard to find. I think you can really only find it if you had the album, the CD album from back in the day. Or maybe it's on YouTube. Everything is on YouTube. But it's like a little just deeper and like more like bass heavy. So it just adds even more power to it. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, the story of this is that he was inspired by the show The Munsters. And in it, they had a car called the Dragula, which was literally like a headstone for the front of the car and then a coffin for the back of the car. And they all rode on top of it, which is so great. Very creative. I'm part of the show. I used to watch The Munsters myself. Great show. Going to go ahead and plug that as a classic.
Yes.
I don't know if it holds up today, but it just seems like, how could it not? It's kind of an inclusive show. You know, they're monsters. They're just like you and me.
Well, and amazing, you know, you say, does it hold up today? But you're still seeing commercials for the Addams Family Part 2, like the cartoon version. So my kids are like, oh, yeah, the Addams Family, we've watched that. And I'm like, that show is like 70 years old. And so I don't know why the Munsters hasn't gotten any, you know, love recently, but yeah, interestingly enough, it may hold up. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out, too. But yeah, this is the other memory I have with this song in particular is that I used to play a lot of video games in high school, and I would put this song on very loudly because it's really the best way and only way to listen to it. And I would play the games like Quake 2 and Quake 3. And just like, it just matched up so perfectly because those games are so dark and moody and you're running around like very violently killing other players in the game. Again, I love my parents. I know they listen to the show. But I just have to wonder, should they have maybe directed my youth just like a little bit more?
maybe intervened at some point and been like, hey, over here, you know? Hey, how about a little stickball with the neighborhood kids, huh?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so that's why this made the mix. It's classic. So, all right, track 6. You had already mentioned this is one of the most popular songs. I'd never heard it. I wasn't familiar with this artist. He seems like he's maybe a little controversial, but, you know, was really like a big pop star. It was really interesting to do some research on him. You've got Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Please don't do too much research on him.
Right.
Just stop at the music for now, okay? Let's just enjoy this for one more year. Yeah, okay. So the King of Pop, this is the all-time greatest selling album. Yes. The whole album, Thriller. But obviously this song is completely focused on, you know, Halloween's song. You're going to hear it a million times on the radio leading up to Halloween and then the day of, for sure. It's amazing because not only was this an amazing song and a big album, but the video, you know, I remember it was like a whole half hour or hour long special on the making of the video. And then mm-hmm. they premiere the video. And of course, you have the iconic Thriller dance that goes along with it. And of course, at the end, the great Vincent Price comes in and lends his voice to the track, which creeped me out when I was a kid, because this song came out when I was like 7. And even my daughter, who like listens to this now, because they play it like at her dance class, you know, when the Vincent Price part comes on, she's like, I don't want to hear this guy. And so that's still pretty universal. So even in death, Vincent Price still scaring children.
That's great. No, I mean, this is like such an amazing, amazing song for so many reasons. And the video is terrifying, like truly. It is still like a scary move, like show or music video to watch. It's incredible, like how much kind of detail and atmosphere and mood went into it. And that it's still, like you said, being played today. In fact, apparently this is only one of 2 songs that re-chart in the top 100 every year that are like holiday related. So this is for Halloween, Thriller. And then it's Mariah Carey's...
I was going to guess it. Yep.
Is that what you were going to guess?
Yes. All I Want for Christmas Is You, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So these are... It's, you know, I mean, this is going to just forever be in our ears, I guess, as we grow up. And it's just... I mean, it's worth it. It's an incredible song. I started playing this, you know, obviously listening to the mix before we record. And I just found myself moving because you can't not listen to Michael Jackson and want to just like move and dance to it. Truly talented.
Yeah, especially if you get it right from the beginning and you get the build up and then the bass drops and all of it. It's a great song. All right, track 7, your next track. We go to Creeping Death by Metallica.
Ooh, I like how you read that out. Well done.
I'm available for voiceover work if anybody wants to contact us. Okay, going back to the mix. Here we go.
Yeah, Creeping Death. So now, you know, we've got like the witches, the Dracula, the ghosts on the dance floor, and now you're facing death. You know, the other like Halloween mainstay, let's say. So yeah, this is actually all about a story in the Bible from Exodus. I think, you know, if Metallica wanted to do a whole thing where they teach books of the Bible through song, I think the Bible would become really popular with a crowd, you know, a certain crowd out there.
Well, this is off one of their earlier albums, and that was the note I made, as I said, okay, so Metallica all along was just trying to share Bible stories.
Right.
And they got tagged with this heavy metal label, but I mean, I think there was a more virtuous objective to their music. And
right. I love it. Yeah, apparently Lars was just like a big fan of the movie 10 Commandments when he was a kid. And I love that, that he just decided to then write a song about that. That's great. And it's a hell of a song. Like, it is so good and it has an amazing guitar solo, like about 2.5 to 3 minutes into it, because it's a Metallica song. So of course it needs some kind of shredding guitar at some point in it. Yeah, just a great, great rock song. Had to include Metallica too. Also another first, I believe, for our show. First Metallica track on a mix.
It is. I think it is. And it's got, you know, that great classic Metallica song or sound to it. Like you said, with the guitar. But yeah, I was really impressed with the background story on this, that they kind of took this biblical story. And, you know, really, when you think about it, you know, it's the 10th plague and the death of the firstborn. That is a creepy story. That's a scary story. So, I mean, kudos to them for sort of taking something that is presented. You know, I went to Catholic school my whole life, so we were always taught, you know, these stories. But kind of taking that, like when you take a step back and think about it, it's like, well, that would be frightening if that were to happen, right? And yes. So kudos to them for sort of extracting that and turning it into this type of song and really emphasizing the horror part of it.
I agree. Yeah, it's really good. All right, track 8. We've got Devil Town by Bright Eyes.
Yeah, so this is a cover of a Daniel Johnston song, and it's more well-known than the original. But it's a very sparse song, and it's just very simple how it's laid out. You know, this guy's just kind of realizing he lives in this devil town, and everyone's a vampire, and then he realizes he's a vampire. And you can take it, you know, in so many directions as far as what the meaning behind it is, but if you just read the lyrics, it sounds very much like what would unfold in a horror movie, right? It's kind of the main character looking around and realizing something is amiss and then, you know, realizing he might be part of it too and all of that. You know, almost like if you saw the movie Bird Box when that came out on Netflix, you know, same thing. It's like kind of the what the hell's going on right now type realization. And same thing here with Devil Town. But yeah, there have been many different interpretations of this song over the years.
I could definitely see that vampires is like a metaphor for something. Like, I really enjoyed the song because I had just finished reading the book Salem's Lot, because I also really love reading Stephen King around this time of year. And that is, you know, it's a book about vampires, basically. And I just imagine that, I don't think Salem's Lot was ever made into a movie. It's one of the few books that of his that haven't. But this would make a perfect, like, ending roll credits song for that. Because it just ends, you know, with him literally singing, everyone's a vampire. You know, this whole town is full of vampires and whatever, which is, I guess I should say, spoiler alert. Come on, it's a Stephen King novel, and it's so old.
It's been out for a while, I think.
It's been out for a while.
You get the waiver on that spoiler alert.
Yeah. So, yeah, really, really nice. I just thought that was amazing that I just finished that book, and then here's this song that kind of sums it up for me.
Nice, nice. Well-timed. All right, so we go to your next track. It is Going to Hell by The Pretty Reckless.
Yes. So, you know, here we go. You've faced all these other layers of Halloween, and now you're facing hell. So, yes, again, another foundation piece of the Halloween story. So, yeah, so The Pretty Reckless, she's made our mixes before and the Women Who Rock episode. And so I had to include her again now that she's been formally introduced to the super awesome mix universe. That's how this works. Yeah, and it's a great rock song. It is, she actually wrote this, unfortunately, just after Hurricane Sandy kind of destroyed their studio, and they just, you know, were trying to rebuild, and in the wake of all the destruction that hurricane left, the song apparently, you know, was written by them and produced and then recorded. And it just has, you know, it's kind of like a creepy setup in a way. She's like confessing sins, and then like to a priest, and the priest is kind of telling her, well, these are all the reasons you're going to go to hell. And then it just has this incredible outro that I love. Like, it just kind of crescendos and then goes silent, and then it just like has like this huge riff, and then it ends. And so I love that. Definitely worth listening all the way to the end just for that.
I was really impressed by this song, primarily because it was a female voice that you heard. And so often, as we found out, it kind of reminded me of the difference between our Mother's Day and Father's Day mixes, right? In that all the songs about fathers are like, I've lived this awful life and I was never there for you, right? And all these mother songs are always very sweet and endearing. And so same thing with these, you know, a lot of times these I'm going to hell or you're going to hell songs are really just sung by men. And so
right.
I thought it was great to get a female voice on here kind of, you know, saying I've done all these awful things and I'm going to hell. It was just a different spin on things for this genre, if we can call this Halloween or sort of horror genre of music. I thought it's just a great rock song just in general, but I thought, you know, really good pick in that it was a female voice.
Yeah, it is an amazing rock song. She definitely deserves the title of Women Who Rock, without a doubt. All right, track 10, of course, the one and only Bruce Springsteen. And you've got A Night with a Jersey Devil, which is a really creepy song, actually. It's a creepy song.
Yeah, so this is, first of all, I mean, did you think I'd be able to squeeze Bruce Springsteen onto a Halloween mix?
I did not. I really didn't, to be honest.
Well, so Halloween, October 31st, 2008, he releases this song as a download only. So this is not something included on any of his albums. It was just a single that he put out. And apparently this is a story, so all our New Jersey listeners could give us kind of a thumbs up on social media if this is a real legend. But apparently it's from this legend of the Jersey Devil. So I read up on this. In 1735, a woman named Mother Leeds gave birth to her 13th child. 13th wow. child, right? Who turned into an evil creature with bat wings, forked feet, and a horse's head. Now, because of this, but I think it had more to do with the fact that they had 12 other children, the parents decided to throw this child into the river where he drowned and okay. now haunts the Pine Barrens of New Jersey. So that's the story behind the Jersey Devil. A question for all our, like, why have I never heard this before Bruce Springsteen told me about it in 2008? I've been to New Jersey plenty of times prior to then, plenty of Jersey friends. Nobody's ever told me this legend of the Jersey Devil. But that's what this song is about.
Maybe they're just too afraid. You know, it's they're just too haunted by this story, so they just can't possibly tell it to you.
It's an unsettling story. I'll give them that.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
for sure.
Very. I had not heard of it either. Maybe I'll take do a car trip out there and, you know, do like a live recording or Instagram live of me walking these forests and see what I find. You know.
Yeah. Do it in the middle of the night, though.
I mean, obviously, it's going to be the middle of the
okay.
night.
Okay, all right, good.
Well, you know, make sure I have no GPS signal, no cell phone.
None.
You know, I'll record this and then upload it later. Obviously, that's how that's going to work.
Yeah, it'll be found footage. It'll be found footage.
Exactly. My memory will live on in a horror film.
Once again, another super awesome movie that we're going to put out. Okay, just
exactly.
add that to the movie idea list.
Exactly.
All right. So your last track, and this is another just iconic one, Hell's Bells by AC/DC.
Yes. This had to be the ending track for my six songs. It just because it begins with these really creepy bells ringing that apparently they made. They made these 2,000-pound bronze cast bells to record this. And I would say their effort really paid off because it's such a great way to open this track and then go into, of course, just like an AC/DC rock song, which is so good. And I had to finish it out. You know, like you went to hell and now you're in hell and you're hearing hell's bells. And so that is the story. It totally holds up.
It's perfect. You talk about the gigantic bells. I actually saw AC/DC in concert maybe like a dozen years ago or so. And they do bring out a gigantic bell when they play the song. And, of course, you just see the bell and the place just goes crazy because they know it's coming. And
right.
then they're just banging this huge bell. And every time they do it, I mean, the place just erupts, right? Because they know it's coming. And then they go right into the song. So it's pretty awesome to see in person, I will say. You know, this was not prime AC/DC, obviously, because this was like 2008 or something like that. But still a really cool show. And certainly when they get into this song, it's really cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, I had read that they do this as part of their live performance. And I'm really sad that I haven't seen that because it sounds incredible. Great, great track. All right. Track 12. You've got You're Dead by Norma Tenenga.
Okay, this is a song from 1966 that I'm sure we're all familiar with. Had you heard this song before?
I hadn't, but then I saw, I'm guessing why it is here on the mix. And I didn't remember that it's used in the movie, or is it used in the show? I've seen the movie.
Yeah. So What We Do in the Shadows is what we're talking about. Yeah. And it's on the TV show. Do yourself a favor. If you're not into horror movies and really being scared, but you want to get into Halloween, just binge watch What We Do in the Shadows. It's on Hulu, so you could check it out there. It's hysterical. I mean, it is just the funniest show. It's about vampires living. It's a documentary style. It's vampires living in our modern world. And it's just a brilliant show. And this is the theme song to it, which, really just talks about being dead, which vampires are, which people forget. But yeah.
Right. Well, and I just think it's also, we didn't plan this, but it's a great way to just end the whole mix because you've made this journey and then it's like, well, yes. You're dead.
Yes. I thought it was the only way to end a Halloween mix is you're dead. Yeah.
Right.
And it's also kind of a, peppy upbeat song, right? Like it's not exactly a total downer, but ultimately you're dead. You're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. And our next episode of Super Awesome Mix, we'll discuss the fragility of life and really what it all means.
That's right. The Meaning of Life episode coming up next on Super Awesome Mix.
That's great.
All right.
All right.
There you go. There's the Halloween mix. Okay. Let us know what you think. Let us know if we missed one on this mix. Because like we said, when I did my research, I found there were just a ton of other songs that we could have included. So I'm sure this might be one we do every year for a little while.
Absolutely. Yes. I love it. It was so much fun.
So find us on social media at Super Awesome Mix. That's Facebook, Twitter, and of course, Instagram. And that's where we mostly hang out. Also, check out the website, superawesomemix.com, and click on events to bring a Super Awesome Mix to your next event. With a little bit more planning, you could have brought a Super Awesome Mix to your Halloween party. But maybe next year you'll be able to do that. So there you go. Another super awesome mix for your collection. Everybody have a happy and safe Halloween. And for Sammer, this is Matt, and we will see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.